Weekend Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort,
DCH Regional Medical Center,
Two Dimes Tuscaloosa,
and Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
It's time for the Miller's Edge
with New York Giants legend
and South Carolina Hall of Famer Corey Miller
and his son,
four-time SEC champion
and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
And not down again. That was Christian Miller.
Here is college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
Monday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Hope everybody's doing great. Obviously, I would assume you guys had a great weekend. Big time win, 37-20 victory over the Tennessee Volunteers. Getting our get back and lighten up that Tennessee pack. That was smooth, guys. That was smooth. That was off the top. I wasn't thinking about that. That was smooth. Listen, obviously, it's a victory Monday on the show. We're all fired up. We're looking forward to breaking it down. I know you guys are. That's what we do on Mondays. We go to the tape. Well, a little bit of an audible. We'll see how much we can go to the tape. Now, as you guys remember from last week, we were having some issues with the whole copyright stuff. So we want to play it safe. Somebody tell me, I mean, even if we just pull up, like, because before we had no issues when I was skipping through it real quick, but I'm a little nervous to even go, just to even do that, or even just pull up screenshots at this point, because I don't want them to take the channel down, really, because then that means we can't stream to you guys, which you guys love to stream. Worst case, obviously, we are a radio show first and foremost. Tide 100.9. Download that app right now. Matter of fact, if you haven't already, just to be safe, if anything happens with the stream, make sure you guys have that app. Because if the stream goes down, immediately jump over to Tide 100.9. We're still rolling. There's no problem there. Or you can always go to the Facebook page, Tide 100.9, and the stream always stays up there. There's no copyright issues on Facebook. So you can always jump over to Facebook as well. We'll just keep the stream going, but just want to give you guys a heads up because I do want to get into some breakdown, a lot of stuff to break down. Obviously, you guys know this was a really good football game. I thought we played really well. Definitely were some ebbs and flows, some things, right? Some good, bad, not too much ugly really at all, but you guys know how we like to do good, bad, and ugly. Some things to break down, and we definitely will do that here on this Victory Monday. But first, got to remind you about our friends over at the Good Feet Store, America's arch support experts, goodfeetkickforcash.com. If you guys missed out on the opportunity from this past game, don't worry. You'll have another chance, right, for the other home games coming up. We got to play Oklahoma at home. That's another one they have on the schedule, I know for a fact. So go right now to goodfeetkickforcash.com and sign up. All you need is your name and your email. Simple process. It's that easy. Make sure you guys go sign up right now. And if you're in any type of pain, foot pain, knee pain, back pain, hip pain, you guys already know the drill. Head on over to the Good Feet Store. They'll take great care of you, just like they've been taking great care of me for years. It's as simple as putting these arch supports in your shoes, boots, whatever it might be that you wear on your feet, and they get to work eliminating that pain in just 4 short weeks. That is clinically proven to do so. And they definitely will knock that out for you. And they've got first-class customer service. Who doesn't like a great product and great customer service? I know I do. That's really important to me. That's why I love working with the fine folks at the Good Feet Store. Again, we had Mr. Jonathan from the Good Feet Store come on the show. He talked about his story. He enjoyed it so much, he ended up buying the Good Feet Store. And that's where he's at now. Plus, he also just wrote a book, man. So make sure you guys check that out as well. That being said, I see the cigar ad, R&R Cigars, right here on the screen, on the stream. I'm sure you guys enjoyed that. If you didn't, get your cigar from R&R. I hate it for you because they've got the best in the business. But it's not too late. You still always can order those cigars from their website, Miller's Edge. Use that code, and that will get you 20% off. R&RCigars.com is the website. Hell, Reagan is probably one of the most famous people in the United States when it comes to the third Saturday of October. I saw him all over ESPN. And not only that, hell, he got shout out after shout out after shout out on the ESPN broadcast. And then he was down on the field doing his thing, passing out the cigars. Obviously, he was having probably the greatest weekend of his life. So shout out to Reagan. I know it's always fun when we can cap it off with a big time win. And I feel like he probably got the most exposure that I've seen and heard yet. So shout out to Reagan, good friend of the program as well, right here on the Miller's Edge. That being said, right, and just a heads up, I apologize. I know we were a little late getting on here. Technical difficulties. I don't know if some Tennessee fans were messing with the setup, but literally everything was going on and off, in and out. But we're good to go. We're ready to roll, and we're ready to knock out this breakdown Again, 37-20 victory over the Tennessee Volunteers, third weekend of October, getting the job done. What didn't get done was the score predictions, man. Phil came close, and I feel like it's the second time he came so close. He had 38-20, but ended up being 37-20. You guys can thank Yanze Pierre. One of those three sacks that he had was a safety that probably kind of altered the score a little bit. You know, obviously the 2 points that you didn't really account for kind of threw some scores off. But nonetheless, man, a dub is a dub. And speaking of Yanze Pierre and three sacks, shout out to him. He earned SEC Defensive Player of the Week honors, which is a huge deal. And not only him, he's sharing it with his teammate, Xavien Brown. The two guys were both named co-defensive players of the week. That was announced this morning. Again, three sack performance by Yanze Pierre. I hate to be that guy because I feel like it's always annoying when somebody's like, oh man, let me put myself in here. But I can't help it because it's a coincidence. Chase Reed, you know who else had a three sack first half performance and earned SEC Defensive Player of the Week? You know somebody?
I got no guesses.
You're talking to him.
I know
Christian Miller, myself. Oh, that was so cringe. I'm sorry, guys. I had to, though. It was against Ole Miss my senior year. But again, I had three sacks against Ole Miss that first half. And fortunately, I got pulled the second half, so I didn't have any more opportunities. But watching Yanze, man, I was so proud, so fired up. That was a hell of a performance by him, man. I mean, he definitely made Aguilar uncomfortable. And we talked about that being one of the keys. Can we get some pass rush and make him uncomfortable against a Tennessee unit that only allowed four sacks on the season? We ended up totaling four sacks in this game, led by Yanze Pierre, man. Dude just keeps improving each week, man. Love to see it. All right, let me stop talking so we can get back on track. First time out of the day. When we come back, we dive into our breakdown of this Alabama-Tennessee game from this past Saturday. We smoked them because we had them. We'll do that breakdown. We come
inspection today and get up to 30% off. That's leaffilter.com/country for up to 30% off. Leaffilter.com/country. See representative for warranty details.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Into this Victory Monday edition of the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Arch Support Experts. All right, I say we go ahead and jump into this breakdown since I know you guys are waiting for that. Obviously, big time victory, 37-20 over the Volunteers. Got our get back. Obviously, everybody was looking forward to this game after dropping it last year at Tennessee. They come to Tuscaloosa. Would have been their first time winning since 2003. Well, I guess they're going to have to wait another year because it definitely did not happen. Now, there's a number of things that did happen in this game. I definitely want to talk about it. But first, let's go over the key things from this matchup that I felt, I guess, made the biggest difference in this game. We talked about it, right? Since somebody wanted to bring up the offensive line, we could start there. We talked about this matchup, right? What does Tennessee do good defensively? Well, they get after the quarterback. Going into this game, they were the top team in the country getting after the quarterback, averaging 4.3 sacks a game, right? We knew that was going to be key. We like to throw the football. We do a nice job throwing the football. Well, we did a nice job protecting Ty Simpson. Holding that team sackless was huge. That was probably one of the biggest factors in this game, right? Now, we know, like, we can move the ball even when we're facing some pressure. Ty does a pretty good job evading pressure and making things happen. But I was really impressed by that because, to me, that was Tennessee's really only saving grace on defense. Now, I'm not saying their secondary is the worst. I know statistically they are the worst when you look at things. But if you watch the tape, I mean, they're a decent unit, but still, they're saving grace in this game. Just like almost any defense's saving grace is going to be their ability to put pressure on Ty Simpson. We saw that against Missouri, and we saw the success that they had there. Really, I mean, when you look at our receiver room, you've got Jeremy Bernard, you've got Isaiah Horton, Ryan Williams, who came back to life, right? Obviously was more healthy in this game. You could tell targeted five times, had five receptions. That was a big deal. But most teams aren't going to be able to, from a talent perspective, match up with our receiver room. So their only chance is to be able to get pressure on Ty Simpson, really, right? And come up with some turnovers. Well, Tennessee couldn't get to the quarterback, and I was really impressed. So shout out to the offensive line. They ended up doing what I said was probably going to happen. Go ahead and throw Michael Carroll in there. I think it's about that time. He got the start. Ironically, Will Conformby ended up playing more snaps. who also look better, right? Sometimes it's a little, it's a mental thing, man. You, another guy gets some opportunities. It kind of lights a fire inside of you, ups your game a little bit. But nonetheless, offensive line did their thing. So definitely got to give them a shout out 100%, right? Because that was one of my main keys in this game. How do they look against one of the, technically, I think Tennessee was second in total sacks, but they were number one in sack production. We locked them down, did a hell of a job there. So shout out to those guys. The tight ends who staying in chip, right? That helped out a lot as well. Backs did a pretty good job as well. So shout out to everybody involved in that pass pro. Moving on, we'll stick with the offense while we're right here. The running game, was wondering how that would look with Jam being banged up. He ended up playing, got some carries. But here's the interesting thing, guys. At this point, and you know, I like to harp on it because I am a firm believer in having that running game. I know how important that running game is. But at this point, I've got this whole offense figured out. We don't have to have this 100-plus yards on the ground type running game to find success. While I would really enjoy having that, because, you know, situationally, talk about four-minute situations, whatever the case may be, it is really important. Like we saw against Georgia, right? How that does come back, you know, towards the end of the game, you have to be able to rely on the running game, even at some point, even if you are a great passing team. However, it's evident now more than ever that even when our running game isn't going the way we want it to, number one, we don't just completely bail on it, which is, I really appreciate that. But two, we can find ways to still, quote unquote, run the ball effectively using our extensions, right? You look at the box score from this game, Jeremy Bernard was actually the leading rusher in this football game. I think he had four carries for 49 yards, right? It's evident that even when the running game is not really where it needs to be, we still find things to, you know what I mean, effectively move the football as extensions of the running game. So that's a big deal. Daniel Hill looked good. We talked about him going into the season. A lot of people excited about him, myself included. You're talking about a guy that's 250 pounds at the running back position. Adds a different element in the backfield, but don't let the size fool you. That stature, you know, definitely fools a lot of people. He can catch the ball well out of the backfield, does a nice job, and blitz pickup. And he's a lot more elusive for a bigger guy than you would expect. That being said, I thought he stepped up big in this game, and you can tell that he, now that he's finally healthy, he's out there doing what we thought he would be capable of doing. But nonetheless, man, we mentioned him already, but Ryan Williams coming back 5 of 5, that was big. He led the team in reception yards with 87. And you know what I really liked about it was they had a game plan to get him going early, right? They targeted him early. They hit him on the reverse. You got to find ways to get one of your best playmakers the football and get his confidence up. And he didn't allegedly, Coach Shep didn't have any drops in practice leading up to this game. So obviously, I think he's building back on that. And we all know the player that Ryan Williams is, right? I mean, without a doubt, I mean, he's probably the most electric guy, right? Jeremy's going to take the nod at being the best overall and all around receiver. But Ryan's going to be, you know, that big playability guy. Not saying other guys can, but we know what Ryan is capable of, especially yards after the catch, anytime the ball's in his hand. So I think it's important kind of getting him going, because to me, the fact that we've been so effective offensively without really relying so much on him just goes to show you there's so much more potential for this offense. Just like our running game, it's been a little inconsistent. This game, it wasn't really there. Imagine once our offensive line can be more consistent there, right? And I thought we had been doing pretty decent with that the last couple of weeks, but this game wasn't there as much. It was almost like we shifted. Pass pro was kind of a little shaky at times last couple of weeks. This week, it was secure when it needed to be, but the running game wasn't really there. Some things up front that can be cleaned up, but nonetheless, man, a big-time performance. Ty had another solid game, and what's crazy is, you know, won his best game, but still, he's still so effective. That being said, 19 of 29 through the air, 253 yards, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions, had the fumble kind of, you know, whiffed out of his hand. I mean, like, when I say Tennessee was just doing things, just not win the game, I mean, that one defender just, like, smacks the ball, and I'm like, bro, these guys have no discipline. Anytime the ball's on the ground, you always, like, even in practice, we always pick it up. Didn't matter if it was an obvious, you know, incomplete pass. And that's why. I mean, dude smacks the ball, and luckily for them, they ended up recovering it still. But, you know, you had that turnover, but still. And then I guess the other one, Ty kind of made that bad decision, tried to force something in the red zone. That's one of those plays where, again, the inexperience kind of showed up, and I think he'll learn from that. But nonetheless, man, another solid performance by him. And just watching him operate again, the pre-snap stuff, man. I think it was Todd McShay that did a breakdown that really showed everybody kind of the ins and outs of what this offense is doing and what's making them so successful. I've talked about it on the show, right? When you pay attention to things like literally when Ty's getting everybody lined up, doing the little movements pre-snap, doing the motions just to be able to identify, are they in man, are they in zone, right? Helping him establish, you know, what the coverage is, what the protection needs to be, shifting things at the line, getting his guys in the best position possible. I mean, Ty looks like the most pro-ready quarterback right now in college football. I mean, and then you add on to that, the throws that he's making right now. He's so accurate. I mean, it's really impressive, the stuff that he's doing. So I was really impressed with the offense. The only thing I would say is, outside of the stuff I already mentioned, would be the second half. I feel like this year we've had this where we come out hot the first half, and the second half we see a little bit of a slump. You know, we had the three and out, I think, to start the second half, that fumble. We had a couple series, and then we kind of got back on track. Just want to make sure we continue to keep our foot on the gas coming out of halftime. I think that's kind of been a common occurrence with our offense throughout the year. So definitely want to clean that up. But I want to say, I think I hit everything on offense. I know we're due for a timeout because we need to hit the defense when we come back. Man, I'm trying to pull up. Let me see. That's not my breakdown there. I don't even know where it went. I don't know. We'll, okay, here it is. Let's see. Hit that. That's defense. Oh, the last thing I would say was just like the drives, right? The fact that I think we had like 290-plus yard drives in this game. I mean, this offense, man, I'm telling you, when they need to answer, they answer. And I'll talk about the defense. They do that as well. But the fact that we just drive the football down the field and can get the job done in a number of different ways, talking about the running game being a little inconsistent. All right, no worries, right? We get some gadget-type plays in there, some quick game going, some screen game, and we march down the field and we take advantage of what the defense is giving us. And Ty, I mean, probably does it better than anybody, hitting the middle part of the field, man. Dude is just that field general out there, right? And a lot of people kind of call him a game manager, but I think he's quickly evolved or evolving into more of that game changer by the week. So that's what I got for the offense. When we come back, we got to hit a timeout. We'll talk about the defense. We'll break down what I saw defensively, and maybe we'll pull up some clips here in a little bit. We'll be smart with it. We're not going to get the stream taken down, but we'll try to do that later on in the show as well. Plus, we got to hear from the coaches again. They do speak on Monday, so we'll try to squeeze it in the second hour. Plus, I want to get y'all's thoughts. 205-342-9904 is the number. We'll do all that when we come back right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-914.
Capital One Bank guy.
Hey, mind if I get a selfie?
Sure.
Say, Capital One, what's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com/bank for details. Capital One N.A. member FDIC.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are quality care. Visit WestAlabamaDental.com or call 205-345-8859. West Alabama Dental Center, bringing smiles back every day.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
And welcome back into this Victory Monday edition of Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arch support experts. All right, we're going to keep on rolling. So we got the offense out of the way now. It's time to take a look at the defense, who I will say this, man. Going into this game, I said I thought this was probably going to be one of our toughest challenges to date this year as a defense. Why? Well, because you look at Tennessee, right? Coming into the game, highest scoring average in the country, like 48 points per game. Top passing team in the SEC, right? And one of the top ones in the country. Not only that, they're averaging over 200 yards, about a 200, I think 210 yards per game on the ground, right? So they're a very dynamic team, a very complimentary football team. Shout out to Talking Tide. They use that word, right? Very complimentary football team. Their quarterback is, you know, neck and neck with Ty Simpson in terms of production, right? Ty definitely is, you know, a much better quarterback, in my opinion. And I think most people would agree. But still, good quarterback, running game, a group of receivers that I thought definitely were, you know, got our team, you know, as a top receiver group. But then they're, I thought they're right up there. Brazel, Staley, the third guy, always, you know, forget his name, but still they have four receivers with over 400 yards, man. This was going to be a challenge for our defense. That being said, I thought we played really well defensively. Definitely a couple things we need to clean up. I'll talk about that here in a second. But Aguilar going 28 of 44 for 268 yards, one touchdown, technically two interceptions. I don't think they're showing the one from in the end zone on that 2-point, I believe it was, with DJ League in that interception. But still, I say a lot to say, don't let the numbers fool you. And this is why I say don't listen to people that just read off numbers. Why? Well, if you actually go back and pay attention and remember the sequence of the game, a lot of those numbers started to come in at the end of the game when they were playing from behind. So really, you know, you can shave off a number of those points. And if you do that, you think about that. Even without doing that, Tennessee had like 400 total yards, 400 some total yards. I put this on the screen so you guys can see it. They were averaging over 500 going into this game. So I thought our defense played really well, and it started up front. One of my keys was, right, getting after the quarterback. How can we affect the quarterback? I know our pass rush hadn't really hit home a whole bunch. I thought it's been improving. They've been doing some things a little bit different to try to find ways to generate pressure. And, well, sure enough, we were able to do that, led by Yonze Pierre. Again, three sack performance, all coming in the first half. And I'll talk about, you know, kind of how those sacks came to fruition. But really nice job by him, really stepping up to the plate. I said this weeks ago, we need him to step up. He will be a factor for this defense. We can go, y'all can go check the receipts. And sure enough, man, he stepped up tremendously. And I think it's really just him coming into his skin and feeling more confident. Those reps have really made a difference, right? He's always been a good pass rusher. I remember watching him come out of high school when I had to break down we did the SEC Network recruiting show, me and Chris Stewart. I was watching his high school tape, and I even saw him at a camp, right, here in Tuscaloosa. The dude always had that ability, but I think sometimes, man, when you're adjusting, because I know it happened to me, you know, it's not necessarily you lose your rhythm, but you're trying to do stuff, you know, the coaches are asking you to do things differently than what you're used to, and you're trying to, you know, marry that with kind of who you are as a player. And I think we're finally seeing everything come to fruition. I can just tell even just by the way he moves out there. I mean, without a doubt, this dude is really starting to come alive and to feel himself. And I think I saw somebody kind of put it him against like Quay, like, oh, well, he basically kind of bumped Quay out of the picture. And I'm like, no. But y'all are forgetting how football works, man. Like in passing situations, we want more edge guys. Now we can pick. Quay is starting to come along before he got hurt too. When Quay comes back, I mean, I feel so much more confident about our edge group right now than I have in the past year or so, right? Quay and Yonze paired up, right? They're going to bump Deontay back where he's not having to come down and play on at that like buck position like I used to play. And you'll be able to stick with just Quay and Yonze working those edges and lined up and doing, you know, working games and working the three. Like it's going to be a damn good group. I don't know his update, you know, on his timetable to return, but I'm really excited about it. Continuing forward with the defense, in terms of rushing, we did give up 142 yards total rush yards. But I'll say this, right? It still appears to me like if you take away just a couple of those explosive runs, that number looks a whole hell of a lot better. And I'll talk about kind of what I saw in some of those explosive runs. One of them came from what we talked about, right? Them spreading you out, a numbers game. They had three blockers for our defenders right there, and I'm pretty sure Deontay took a bad angle. Bishop just cut up. And to be honest, I feel like we kind of, our intensity dipped on that series. I think it was evident that we picked it back up after that. But still, you know, for the most part, stopping the run was pretty solid, in my opinion, outside of a few plays. Again, we've just got to continue to clean those things up and be more consistent, right? We can do it. We see it. Like, the defensive line is doing better. Linebacker play, they're flowing to the ball better, taking better angles. But we just got to make sure we're doing it on a consistent basis. In terms of the secondary, Zaven Brown, right? We all know what happened with the interception. But also, I want to say he had, I think, like 7 tackles as well. Did a really nice job when he was targeted. Hence why he was named SEC Defensive Player, not just for the interception, but his all around play from Saturday was really solid. So shout out to him as well. Let's break down this whole interception real quick. Actually, no, let me finish this and I'll come back and we'll have time to do that. But putting a bow on the defensive performance again, led by Zaven Brown and Yanze Pierre, especially up front with those 3 sacks, man. We got after the quarterback, said that we needed to do that. And we did a nice job handling their receivers. Now, there's times that we were playing off a little bit, playing a little soft in coverage, knowing that Tennessee was probably going to try to take some shots. And I think you guys saw that, you know, early in the game, they were going after DJ Lee a little bit, right? He was playing off, so we were giving up some yards there. But, again, I'm not too mad at it, right? It helped limit some of those explosive plays down the field, and obviously it worked out well. And anytime you hold a team to 20 points when they come into the game averaging 48, right, that's a big deal. So you gotta give the defense a round of applause. I know a lot of people were, a little heated with Kane Womack, you know, some of the ebbs and flows that we've seen. But I feel like he's done a nice job getting his guys in better positions. We haven't seen as much of the mugging, right, on the first and second down with some of our backers. We've seen less looks of those. We still are doing a lot of the 3-3 stack stuff, which I know Tia tagged us in a picture, and I'll talk about that, where they basically hover the wolf. And it's basically a 3-3 stack, but the wolf is kind of hovering in like B gaps. Still not the biggest fan of that, but, you know, that's part of his stuff, man. I'm not knocking it too much. But I thought overall defensively was a nice job. We forced some turnovers, right? We got pressure on the quarterback. And overall, man, stepped up when it mattered most. Continue to do that. And that's a common theme with this defense, man. Those big-time moments where we need big-time plays, we step up. And we make it count. So shout out to those guys. We got to hit a timeout to stay back on track. When we come back, I'll probably just put a quick little wrap around on everything. Plus, I want to break down the interception play because I know there's a lot of talk about that. I know you guys got plenty of you guys want to talk about as well. So we'll definitely go to the phone lines as well. 205-342-9904 is the number. We'll do all that when we come back right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTVC.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Monday edition of The Game with Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9, we'll talk to Mark Houston, 1992 national champion winning fullback at the University of Alabama. We'll talk to Drew DeArmond from 97.7. We'll do the good, the bad, and the ugly, sponsored by DanielMoreArt.com. Starting at 2 p.m., we'll recap Alabama and Tennessee right here on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest-running sports program in Tuscaloosa, The Game with Ryan Fowler. Weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-91.
Of the Crimson Tide, sold in stadium and at bars, restaurants, and stores near you. Must be 21. Please drink responsibly.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are Tuscaloosa Tractor, Castaway Fish Co., Crimson Pride Hunting and Fishing, Precision Armory, Jumpson Grocery, Urbans, Military Surplus R Us, and Adams Heating and Cooling.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
What a beautiful fall afternoon. The sky's sunny, the high in the low 70s, around 72. Clear and cool tonight, the low 49. Tomorrow, partly sunny, the high 77. Wednesday, cooler with a good supply of sunshine, the high 71. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 68 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
And welcome back into this Victory Monday edition of Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arch sport experts. All right, so just kind of putting a bow on everything, I just wanted to hit on the interception because that was really the biggest play in the game, a potential 14-point swing. Tennessee's down there, right? They burn all their timeouts. There's like 9 seconds on the clock. And it's evident, at least I think everybody, if you know football, should know that they can only pass the football right there. Why? Because if you run it, you don't get it. Well, the time's going to run out and you get no points at all. Here's what I'll say about that situation, though. I think the biggest issue, and one thing that people aren't really pointing out enough is, I know Xavier made a great play. He read the eyes. He ended up, you know, breaking on the football. We all know the rest is history, right? And then the fact that he was able to high step and not get tackled, that was huge. But I'll say this, though. I don't think people realize, I know, and I'm going to criticize the play call. But to be fair, it really wasn't a great pass. If this is what they should have told, number one, let's just go back to the play call. There's no reason to go play action right there because everybody knows that they have to throw the football. So the play action is kind of useless unless you're just hoping that an undisciplined player is going to still go, oh, they might run the ball because they're in heavy. Which, to be fair, they could have maybe. They could, you know, technically they could have just said, screw it. If we're going to take our chances. If we don't, we feel better about running it right here. Why? It is hard to throw the football the closer you get to the end zone. I'm sure you guys understand this. But if you don't realize this, it's really hard sometimes to really throw the ball when you're in that position because there's just not much room to work. And the way that the defenders can play, I mean, you can really just cover a lot of stuff up. That's why you see a lot of those plays like China routes, like a receiver look like he's it looks like he's breaking out to the flat and he plants and cuts back in real quick. You got to kind of get creative. I think they would have been a whole hell of a lot better doing something smart and creative like that, almost working out of the gun, but trying to, you know, use motion and things. That's why you see a lot of pick type plays, something like that. The jumbo play action, I wasn't a fan of, but here's the thing. What you also need to tell your quarterback is, listen, you have to throw this football where they like even the placement just has to be like high and then outside where only your guy truly can get it. The ball placement was terrible. If he threw that ball towards the pylon, I'll be honest with you, there's a good chance it actually could have been a touchdown. So, I mean, it's what it is. In hindsight, it's 2020 because I know everybody, like I was seeing people like clowning them on Twitter about that decision and stuff like, oh, why would you throw the ball on the one? And I'm like, you kind of had to. That was the situation that they were in. I mean, it personally, I think if you're going to run that play, you almost might as well just try to just punch it in because maybe reverse psychology would have been like, oh, they're expecting pass because we have to pass it. Well, we'll risk not getting the 3 points here just to really punch it in because we're this close. I don't know. But basically, those are my thoughts on that. I mean, Xavier knew that it was pass. He was reading it the whole way. The pass wasn't great. It was way too far inside. And he made an excellent play on the football and was able to take it in for a touchdown. And I'll be honest with you, I think that alone, I hate saying like the game's done, it's never done. But you talk about going into halftime where you should have been at what? If they scored, it would have been what? Like, what was the score at that point? It was like 16. It would have been 16-14.
Yep.
If they scored. Yeah. So, wait, am I getting this right? Or what? Wait.
Yeah. If they would have scored, it would have been 16-14 because then they would have been down two. But rather, it was 23-7.
Yeah, for some reason, I'm like, what did we have? Because we scored, we had 16. Yeah, sorry. So, yeah, you're right. So 16-14 and instead it's 23-7. I mean, like, that's a whole another ball game. Not to mention Alabama gets the football. So, I mean, after that, it was what it was. And maybe that's part of the reason we came out the second half a little bit flatter than we should have. Maybe guys saw that scoreboard like, man, shit, we're up 23-7, right? I mean, talk about momentum, knowing you're getting the ball. But you got to find whatever way you can to keep guys from having that mentality. I'm still waiting for the game where we have a full 60-minute performance. And I don't say that in the sense like I'm not pleased with what we've been doing. Like, I feel like we've been playing some damn good football. I'm not one of these people saying like I'm complaining about the scores or whatever. No. What I'm saying is the fact that we haven't reached our full potential, and in my opinion, we still haven't played a complete 60-minute game where we just dominated from start to finish, which I know is going to be tough to do that when you start playing quality teams. I get that part. But still, I feel like there's, like we said last week, there's still meat on the table. And I think if you're an opposing team, man, that's a scary thing, because right now, we talked about this on my post-game show that I do with Gray Robertson on the network. Somebody dropped a question for us and said, do you think Alabama is now an elite team? Like, it's safe to say we're an elite team. And I'm like, look, man, we're the best team in the SEC, in my opinion. I know A&M hasn't lost, but still, I think if you look at Alabama, we're the hottest team right now in the SEC. If you're the best team in the SEC, you're an elite team, right? You're the best team in the best conference, you're an elite team. Not to mention, looking at across the college football world, I mean, Ohio State looks really good. I would say right now you got Ohio State, Alabama, Georgia's nowhere near perfect, but the fact that they're just such a tough football team and you never really can count them out, I mean, I'll put them up there being solid. Indiana looks pretty damn good. Really, though, man, I mean, there's just not, I mean, I feel like there's just not too many dominant teams right now. But I think if I had to make a list of teams that I would not want to face if it comes to postseason action, I know we're jumping the gun, but just hypothetically speaking, Alabama and Ohio State to me, and then I guess Indiana as well. I'll put maybe just those three teams for sure. Like Georgia is close to being in that group to me, but I still feel like, I mean, like the way we're playing right now, we're not perfect. Again, I can find plenty of things to analyze, and we do that on this show. That's what we do. We just are such a hot team, man. Like, people still haven't found a way to stop this offense, no matter if we have our running game consistent, which hasn't been consistent, you know, 100% of the time, no matter if we're having some leakage here and there, and in pass pro, we find ways where there's chippers, getting the ball out quick, tides, change and protect. Like I'll be honest with you, man, we're trending so far up right now that Alabama has a really good shot of making a deep run postseason. Now, I'm not going to be one of these people that just jump on here and start saying, oh, we're going to automatically win the national championship, because I know the difficulties of, even if you're playing really good, I was a part of teams that ran the table, right? And then we got to the final game, we lost. So, I mean, trust me, it can happen. But I will say, Alabama is just improving, man. And four straight ranked wins, that's not easy, guys. I know people talk about that stat, but I don't think people understand, man. Not only are we playing good, we're doing it against good opponents. I think I heard this, and I don't know if it's 100% right, but it was like the top teams that we played, their combined records against everybody but Alabama is like 23-1. So Alabama's doing their thing, man. We're doing our job, and we're getting better and better each week. Obviously, we got another test coming up, an unranked game on the road, which ironically, some people might have a little bit more fear about that than the ranked game, given our history. But we'll talk about that throughout the week. And I'll be honest with you guys, watching a little bit of South Carolina, man, they're struggling a little bit. And we'll talk about that down the road. But when we come back, we'll talk with you guys, 205-342-9904. We're going to the phone lines when we come back right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC.
TBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Chris Perfett.
An MRI revealed Monday that Panthers quarterback Bryce Young suffered a high ankle sprain after the game on Sunday against the Jets. He is expected to miss this upcoming week's game against the Buffalo Bills, putting Andy Dalton in line for the start. Still awaiting the results of an MRI that was expected on Monday for Commanders quarterback Daniel Jones for a hamstring injury. Speaking of the Jets, head coach Aaron Glenn, meeting with the press on Monday morning, said he hasn't decided on his starting quarterback yet. Quarterback Justin Fields was benched during the loss against the Panthers on Sunday, putting Tyrod Taylor in the game. The Oklahoma City Thunder have picked up the fourth-year option on rookie guard Cason Wallace. The NBA's deadline to extend rookie contracts is 6 p.m. Eastern on Monday. Florida State's athletic director announced on Monday that they will review head coach Mike Norvell's position at the end of the season.
The Tide Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at pearlriverresort.com. And by Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online at TuscaloosaCDJR.com. And by Two Dimes. Online at TwoDimes.club. And by Druid City Resort.
Regional Medical Center. DCHSystem.com.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Hardy Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Hardy Construction is woman-owned and strongest steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Hardy Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Hardy Construction at 205-752-9611.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
It's time for the Miller's Edge
with New York Giants legend
and South Carolina Hall of Famer Corey Miller
and his son,
four-time SEC champion
and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
And knocked down again. It was Christian Miller.
Here is college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
Into this Victory Monday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230. WTBC, we're going to go to the phone lines. I'm trying to put some clips on the screen, but what I'll do is I won't just leave it up either, so I'll just kind of click through. I think I can play it for like a second. I'm just like scared because I don't want the stream to get taken down because I know everybody's having a good time right now, right? It's a Victory Monday. We're breaking it down. But I'll kind of do that. I'll weave in and out, so I'll throw this back on here too. That way we're not just having the clips just sitting there. That being said, let's go to the phone lines while we kind of weave in and out of that. 205-342-9904. We got Bryce up first. He's still there?
Yeah. Hey, Chris.
There he is. What's up, Bryce?
I'm worried about this game Saturday. I've been saying it all year. I penciled it on the calendar from last year, the way we we escaped the win at home. I think we'll win the game, but I don't think we'll cover. I think it'd be a real close game. We got to score quick and get ahead by two scores and put a foot on our neck, not let them up, because you got to take the crowd out of the game. It's homecoming. That place is going to be electric.
Yeah, you know? I'll say this, Bryce. I totally get you on that. I mean, I remember months ago looking at this game, I definitely felt that South Carolina was going to be one to pay attention to, but just watching these guys and how they've looked this year, a quick, really early preview of them, they struggle up front, man. Their offensive line is struggling up front, leading to Lenore Sellers not really playing his best ball. We know the offensive line is a huge deal, right, when it comes to that. And unfortunately, Lenore Sellers hadn't been as great. He's been a little bit banged up as well. They don't have a running game. They do have some good skill guys, but they can't run the football. So they're offensively, man, they're really struggling. They're not putting up many points either. So keep that in mind. I mean, they're not as good as they were last year. I can definitely tell you that by watching the tape.
Yeah, but we might still have our heads in the clouds, you know, saying that we won four in a row, that we might overlook them, and all it takes is to make a few turnovers, and anything can happen, you know?
Yeah, no, you're right. You still got to show up and do your thing. I'm just saying in terms of what I've seen from them. I mean, just a quick early glance. But you're right. But you're right. I do want to make sure that we do show up for this next one without any hangover from – because think about it, I mean, four straight ranked wins, a big win over Tennessee. You've been wanting your get back there. You got your get back on Vanderbilt. I'm not going to lie. I mean, as a player, I mean, you got to make sure that you're mindful of not falling into that trap of complacency. So hopefully they can steer clear of that. You're right.
And another thing is Ty, I saw him make some decisions that he hadn't made earlier. He's grown in the game. He threw the ball away. He didn't take sacks. And I commend him for that. I don't know if you saw that, what I saw about that.
Yeah, I think he's definitely growing.
He threw the
growing.
Ball away, didn't take sacks.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing that really stands out to me in terms of something that he did that I was like, that's a big no-no, is when he really tried to force it. He was rolling out. Nothing right. was there. Actually, I think there was a guy. He didn't see him, and he tried to just zip it real quick to the tight end right there, and it damn near was picked off. That's a big no-no because that could have really gave them momentum in the game end up, you know, marching down the field, scoring, and that could be a whole different thing instead of just throwing the football away. So that was probably the worst decision that I saw him make in that game. But, again, the inexperience, I mean, we're talking about a guy that's only started 6-7 games at this. And looking at total resume, the fact that we're only very few things that we can sit there and say, oh, he's not doing this great. But we're talking about all the other things that he's doing at a level as if he's been playing 3 or 4 years in college football is really impressive, really, really impressive.
Right, it is. And at no point in this Tennessee game, I thought that we're going to lose the game. Like, my score was 34-17. I mean, I just thought that Tennessee did they hadn't faced a crowd that the quarterback had, like he's going to face that Bryant Denny, you know, is a different atmosphere for this quarterback. And they held the quarterback in check. The only thing, the defense didn't give up but 20 points, but I don't know about you, but I still don't like getting gashed on those runs.
No, trust me, I don't like it at all, and that was one of the things I wrote down. I mean, we just have to find ways to prevent those explosive plays. I mean, but overall, defensive play was very solid outside of those, you know, minimal moments. But again, we just had to find a way to get rid of him. And when you turn on the tape, it's always something that's controllable. It's not like we have a guy that's getting overpowered or a dude that's just losing complete one-on-ones, really. Most of the time, it's a guy supposed to play into the B gap. He ends up not getting all the way there. Or he's a step behind. The ball kicks. Then we have another guy coming at a bad angle. That's literally what happened on that one explosive. James Smith was supposed to be a B gap player. He didn't get there, right? He ends up in the same gap as Jonze. And then you've got Drake Kirkpatrick. He's flying down. He's trying to be aggressive. I love the effort, right? He's firing his gun, but he takes a bad angle and ends up being a bigger run. And then the other one with Bishop, when he scored, I believe, you know, they had three guys for our three guys. You got to have a guy to make a nice open field tackle. That's a tough position to be in. Didn't look like we had that same intensity / pursuit on that play. Guys might have been a little fatigued and ended up going for a long touchdown. But if you can limit those, man, this defense, I'm telling you, is really good. It's just, and they're still a solid unit, but that's what's holding them back from being great, is those explosive plays and those lapses here and there. If they could clean that part up, they would take that next step, personally, I believe.
What? You hold a team that's averaging almost 50 points a game, and you hold them to 20. You know, which I thought they could. This defense, other than giving up long runs, like you said, they're playing lights out. You know, and that quarterback, he was better than I thought he was, but I thought the defense would make him uncomfortable, and that's what they did. You know, we're getting those sacks and everything, and they hadn't given up no sacks, and that's keys to the game. And I just think everybody's refocused, and if they keep remember what's in front of them and don't get lost with that, I think we'll be okay. But I see a real close game because it's homecoming. That place is going to be rocking, and POP is going to be one of them. You know, he'll probably chime in, but he may be quiet this week and not say much. Who knows about him?
I've heard from him one time in like the last 3 weeks. So, man, there ain't no telling. You would think he'll be on here, but I guess we'll have to see, man. Like I said, he wears Waldo sometimes, so we'll find out. But regardless, man, we're going to beat up on his Gamecocks. That's all I know, whether we hear from him or not.
Yeah, well, I just see it being a close game unless we come out and, like I said, come out and jump up 2 scores I don't think they can play from behind. If we do that and keep our foot on our neck and don't let up, I think we'll win the game. But I don't like that line.
Yeah, we'll see, that man. We'll break it down throughout the week. Bryce, we gotta keep rolling. But I appreciate you, brother.
I appreciate you, man. Bye.
Absolutely, man. We'll see you. Good deal. Let's keep it rolling. We got Ricky up next. Ricky, welcome in.
What's going on, y'all?
There he is. What's up, Ricky? Talk to me.
Oh, man. I think everything that you said could or possibly would happen actually did happen.
Man, so, what do you know?
I'm just being funny. Oh, So for me, it was Giannis Pierre and the right tackle, like that really set it off for me. I know everybody is like big on the Davian Brown play, which I like loved it. But I more so thought it was bad quarterback play than it was a great pick from Davian Brown.
You know what, Ricky? You've come a long way, man. You've come a long way. See, like, people might not like you saying that, but I actually agree with you. Like, I know people were, and again, because it was a great football play. Like, he did exactly what he was supposed to do. But if you watch the throw, it really was a bad throw. And I hate to say it like this, but when everybody, I mean, almost like a gimme, like, hey, we know pass is coming. He's just reading it. But like I said, if you watch it, though, I mean, the quarterback could have put that ball a little bit further outside towards the pylon, and it might have been a different story. But at the end of the day, man, as a defender, man, all you can do is react off what they do. Do it through a bad pass, and he made it a big play on it. So, but anyway, well, yeah, no, also, I agree with what you're saying there.
No, I mean, like, it easily could have been a touchdown. Also, like, I am giving, like, a little bit of grace to the run game going into it, I really did think like Tennessee had a top-notch defensive front. So like I didn't expect, especially just like based off what we've seen so far this year, I didn't expect a lot of yards on the ground anyway. Mm-hmm. So like I did give like the run game grace, but I thought after Saturday, I thought like Kalen DeBoer finally has like his complete, like what he sees, like this is his actual team and like his vision of like what the team could have been. I think he actually like has it now. So like, I don't know what the first caller's deal is, but like, I'm not worried about nobody. Like it's only two teams that like I feel is kind of automatic this season, or three. Like Indiana, Ohio State, and Alabama, they just feel like automatic like wins. South Carolina going to have to beat us like for me to like feel like some type of way. They got to show me.
Yeah, I mean, I get a little nervous saying it because I mean, everybody, I saw people like, well, we thought that about Vanderbilt. To be fair, you're right. We did think about Vanderbilt, but I think we were in a much different spot last year as a team than we are now. But again, South Carolina, I mean, I think, you know, the challenge of, you know, it's there. I mean, of going there in Columbia, my hometown, playing those guys, they have nothing to lose. This could kind of not necessarily turn things around for them, but going and beat the top five team, right, would be a huge deal. So they're going, you got a target on your back for sure. It's just, I don't know if they'll even be able to pull that off. I watched that Oklahoma game, man. Their running game is atrocious, right? Their offensive line is really, because their offensive line is bad. It's really bad. I like Lenore Sellers a lot, but he just can't even be his full self. He can't play to his potential because the guys up front and defensively, I mean, they're not too great either. So I don't know. I mean, they got a great edge rusher, but I think our offensive line is just proven. We went against Missouri's pass rush, went against Tennessee's pass rush, and they were able to hold their own, right? They proved from Missouri to Tennessee. So I think, you know, Dylan Stewart's a great player, but I think we'll be okay. I'm telling you, and people don't want to admit this. Everybody wants to act like it's as if like everything is only the guys. The chipping and keeping like tight ends in protection has been the biggest neutralizer for these edge guys that we're facing. I'm telling you for a fact because I lived it. Like that used to happen to me, and it's the worst thing. It changes the whole game, and I think that's been huge, man. Just keeping guys in to help protect.
Well, with South Carolina, man, like, because I watched that OU game too, like, Mike Sula just, he could not, like, utilize Lenore Sellers at all. Like, I mean, like, I hated every play call he had. Just going into, like, the half and then, like, even after coming into the third quarter, like, I just thought, like, the play calling was, like, so bad. And, like, I just kept thinking, like, how do you not know how to use, like, this stud athlete you have at quarterback at all?
Yeah.
And you know OU's defensive front is, like, very, very good, and you just kept going trying to force it through the middle, and it was like, I almost had to turn it off. I was like, I just can't watch these bad play calls.
Yeah, I mean, we'll have to see, but personally, man, just watching them, we would just have to, in my opinion, like, we would have to show up and really just be uncharacteristic of ourselves. Have, like, again, we haven't really turned the ball over, knock on wood. Like, for them to win, it would be one of those things where, again, we've been good on penalties, right? We've been good protecting the football. We would have to show, if South Carolina thinks they have a chance, that's going to be that chance. As if we just play that bad of a game, personally, just after watching them. But
so that, to you, that's what it is. Like, we really would have to, like go just completely left field and just
in my opinion,
beyond
yeah.
ourselves.
Yeah, and honestly, in my opinion, yeah. I mean, I'm not saying they're – I know it sounds like I'm saying they're just awful, but I'm just saying watching them on tape and knowing how – and obviously watching us every week – we should not lose that game unless we show up and just play uncharacteristic like that, in my opinion. But again,
I mean, I'm with you.
Yeah, but like I said, I mean, but every game's different. It could be. I'm just saying that's what should happen. I would not be shocked if we go down there and it's a little bit closer of a game, like kind of like how I don't know. I don't even want to compare it to stuff, but like, could it be a closer game? Sure. I mean, again, I mean, you're in a hostile environment. Look, their quarterback is a quarterback that can definitely cause some issues for sure. But again, it's just like, will they be able to get him going? Like you just said, play calling, offensive line struggling. Our defense is finally starting to really feel themselves and generate pressure, play much better. I mean, it's not like when we just played, you know, one of the top rushing teams in the country in Missouri, handle that pretty damn well. This team, South Carolina, I think they're like the worst rushing team in the country. They are. Yeah, I'm looking at it now. They're last in rushing yards in the conference. You know what
are
I mean?
So really, it's like, it's not Auburn.
Oh, yeah. No, Auburn is last in passing yards in the conference. South Carolina is 14th, and they're 16th in rushing. Like, I mean, offensively, these guys have struggled. I mean, let's see what scoring is. Last. They're dead last. You know, I mean, defensively, they're 8th in scoring defense. Let's look at rushing. They are 12th in rushing defense and in passing defense. They are 4th. So, I mean, it sounds like the secondary might be able to give us a little bit of a challenge, but I just personally, I mean, I think we'd have to be very uncharacteristic.
That's so bizarre, especially like what we thought South Carolina would be going into the season. Like, that's very bizarre to like hear.
Mm. Yeah, it is. It's kind of weird, man, but I always talk about it, man. Everything is done in the trenches, and a lot of people were leaning in Lenore Sellers and some of the skill guys that they have. And I know everybody was waiting to get that running back cleared to play. And it just hadn't been there, man. It just hadn't been there. And I know they got a lot of transfers. I know they're using a lot of players that came from here, a couple of them, some of their linebackers. And
right.
I don't know, man. It's just hadn't been what a lot of people thought it would be. And I just feel a lot better about this game going into it now than I did – say to start the season.
Hey man, well, we had a great night Saturday. I know R&R Cigars definitely did. Like after what the guy said on live TV, something about 15,000 to 20,000 cigars like sold.
Yeah, that's crazy, man.
That's insane.
It's crazy, man. But good for him, man. I know they Reagan still might be asleep, man. I know Reagan probably had the longest weekend of his life, but definitely was a good one.
Oh, they would just be waking me up if that was me, this past weekend. But hey, I appreciate you taking my call, man.
Always, bro. Good hearing from you, Ricky. Good deal.
Yes, sir.
All right. Let's hit a timeout. We come back. We keep on rolling. We'll keep going to the phone lines. We got Smitty up next, and then we got Ellis and Bim. We'll keep on rolling. Plus, during the breaks, we'll squeeze in some clips little by little, playing it safe. And we'll keep on rolling right here on the Miller's Edge. Tied under.
Learn another language? Save up to 50% on your Babbel subscription when you sign up at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com to save up to 50%. BABBEL.com.
Tide 100.9. Tuscaloosa weather.
What a beautiful fall afternoon. The sky's sunny. The high in the low 70s, around 72. Clear and cool tonight, the low 49. Tomorrow, partly sunny. The high 77. Wednesday, cooler with a good supply of sunshine. The high 71. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 71 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Monday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arch support experts. We just took a look at that long run by Bishop for Tennessee. He's a good player, by the way, man. He's a good running back. But long story short, I gave the summary on during the timeout, but for our radio listeners, they went with that wide splits, right? 2x2 formation. We had six guys in the box. We were basically like a 3-3 stack. End up running like zone to our right side, ends up being like a 3-on-3 scenario. They're 3 for our 3 on the right side. Matter of fact, let me just go to the end zone. You can see it better. Right, so they end up, sorry, I don't want to get this taken off real quick, but it's basically like zone. You get the reach block. LT gets reached, right? 72 climbs up. He's on Justin Jefferson. Your free hitter right here ends up being Deontay, because they're expecting this guy, this, I think it's their center, to climb up. But obviously he doesn't. So you've got a free hitter in Deontay Lawson right there. So he's the one to make this tackle, right? He's your free hitter because everybody else is getting blocked right here. But he's kind of running laterally, doesn't really fire his gun. Like, he needs to take an angle at that guy, especially knowing, I mean, you've got Justin Jefferson out here, right? So he's going to get forced back in. You got to, you know what I mean? You can't just run so lateral like that. And the safety's doing the same thing. Both these guys are just running laterally. To me, that's almost one of those things where you're just like, you're not as, not necessarily as focused, but like, you know what I mean? Like, you're just not, and again, football happens fast, but you guys get what I'm saying. Sometimes when you're tired, you're not really like as locked in as you should be, because they end up just taking bad angles and you see him just put his foot in the ground. Then you got all that grass because everybody is spread out, right? You got two receivers over here, two receivers over here, and those secondary guys, they have to respect that. So, that's what we talked about going into this game. That's one of the ways that Tennessee likes to run the football, because it ends up getting them the numbers that they want. And they obviously had success on that play. All right, let's go back to the phone lines. We got Smitty up next. Smitty, welcome in.
Christian, how's it going today?
Oh, man, it's great, bro. How are you?
Well, I have a voice now.
like a lot of people were struggling with that over the weekend.
Yeah, yeah. And I didn't have to block my mama this weekend. She started talking trash. That's a good thing. But she did out of Florida State, had a blocker for the weekend. But here's the thing. First, before I talk about this game, I watched the Dolphins yesterday. It's time for Tua to go on here, acknowledge his tribal chief, and join the bloodline. It's time, man.
Yo, come on, Smitty. No, man, no, man, no. He don't need to join the bloodline. Oh, you're wild, man. Bro.
But I wanted to, because I know this weekend, because you can't let your guard down, because even in the NFL, for example, there are teams like the Jets that gave my Bucks trouble that 1 week. They was up. just can't take the teams lightly. But the thing I took away, I wanted to wait till after this game here. To me, Kalen DeBoer is doing one heck of a coaching job and leader and being an outstanding leader for getting this team off the mat after what happened at Florida State. There are plenty of coaches, and we see one in Lee County who's still crying about a bad call instead of getting his team off the mat. And I think that's a testament to his leadership, because there are many coaches we've seen it over the years whose teams would have just gone away. Just you know, they would have splintered, broken up, all that type of stuff, right? Can't come up with the word, but I know you get what I'm saying.
Yeah. No, you're right. And I'll say this. I've seen a change just out of his whole demeanor, his process. Like, it's clear. I mean, he kind of has that fire lit in him, and I think that's kind of what they needed, man. I mean, I tell people all the time, you got some guys, especially when you're talking about football, there's certain guys that kind of have to, you have to get on them a certain way, whether that's your demeanor or not as a coach. Like, they need that. They need somebody to jump them every now and then. Like, that's what gets them going. And I think we're just seeing that edge out of him. And I think it's really influenced these guys. They've always liked him. I mean, you hear the way the players talk about Coach Moore. They always loved him. But I think some of this tough love that they're now getting, even like from guys like Ryan Grubb, I think that's what these players needed, because you're seeing that translate on the field. Me and my dad talk about it all the time. You take on the persona of your coach. Well, now these coaches have amped it up, and we're seeing that product on the field. So I think that's a collective effort, both by the players making that decision, but also now having that type of coaching, you know, consistently, and everybody's starting to buy in too, because they also see the results too, right? I mean, like, they're playing some damn good football. People are really buying into what these new coaches are selling. But last year was probably a little difficult. It all was new. They had some lapses. They lost some games. Like, I'm just telling you, honestly, from a player perspective, you go from, you know, Nick Saban and your new staff's here, and you're like kind of feeling it out, and it's not going perfect. Sometimes guys aren't going to be fully there. But then this year, like you said, after week one, the way they've really committed to getting everybody included and had some come to Jesus type moments, you can sense that just the vibe is a whole lot different from the coaches, from the players.
Yeah.
I mean, the way they're playing, more intense. It's what we knew it probably needed to be, and I think it's paying off.
Yeah, and people got to understand, it's different taking over Billy Napier in Florida than it is following Nick Saban. Because that's a whole different approach. They're also doing things. And sometimes you just got to say, hey, if y'all going to fire me, you going to fire me doing it my way. Sometimes you just got to do that sometimes, but...
No, you can fire me, too, if you're going to pay me $21 million. Hell, I want another episode of the Miller's Edge. Y'all want to pay me $21 million. Y'all won't see me on this
TV.
Channel in this seat no more. I'd take $21 million to be on the island.
Yeah. He gets $70 million. And so the thing is, right, with this game, I know people saying, I thought Tennessee should have kicked it before the half. Just leave a point sometimes, because they always say the work. There are three bad things that can happen passing the ball, because folks got to understand, yes, your quarterback can throw a bad ball. And the thing is, we can say it was a bad ball all you want, but we watch football for years. There are plenty of times where a bad ball is thrown up and a wide receiver drops it. Well, not wide receiver, but a corner drops it. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, so you still have to make the play when it's presented to you, because sometimes you don't get but one of those gimmies a game. And that's something I look at, you know, do you take advantage of the mistake? But I got to give the offensive line credit. I got to give Wilkin Formby credit. I've been on his butt all year, played a good game. You know, and I think, like, with Ty Simpson, the way he operates pre-snap, I believe that's a big help to the offensive line as well, because that's a joint effort, your line and your QB as well. And, you know, because he gets the ball out. Ty gets in trouble when he holds the ball too long looking for the big play. Because you saw that one play near the end zone that he almost threw a pick because he got greedy, and they were saying DeBoer was jumping up and down, dog cussing him. And I'm like, yes. Yeah. And, because you can't get greedy, because what if they ran that back? What if, you know, just take the yards.
Oh, change the game. Yeah, no, that would have definitely made it a lot more interesting. And that's why I said his problem with him holding it, I mean, again, it makes sense. I mean, you're talking about a guy that – he makes a lot of great plays, and a lot of those sometimes come from him extending things. And so naturally, you always keep thinking, oh, I can do this. I can do this. But you just have to know, again, whether situationally or just what you're seeing, that either is too risky or I just need to get rid of it. You know what I mean? And I think like one of those situations, you guys are in a comfortable lead. There's no need to force that or try to be Superman right there. And again, that comes from, you know, inexperience. He's only started seven games, which is completely normal. And he learns from it, which is totally okay. But I choose to focus on the fact that, yeah, we see some of those inexperienced moments or those decisions pop up, completely normal. But like you mentioned, those checks, the way he's so far along, I mean, he does it better than anybody else. He's the most pro-ready quarterback in college football right now, in my opinion. I mean, without a doubt. The way he operates is incredible.
And I'll say this before I run, and you got other things to get to. I got to shout out Red Morgan. He played a good game because number seven was getting cooked.
Stanley was giving Deshaun Jones prom. I forgot to hit that when we were talking about it. Somebody mentioned in the chat, but you're 100% right. They put Red Morgan in at Husky, right? Kind of relieving Deshaun Jones for a minute. And, man, he did a great job, right? I mean, it was like night and day's difference once he came in and was locking up that slot. And got to give him credit, man. And that's good news, man. You got a lot of young guys that are hungry. They want opportunities. And I think this staff
they're showing out.
Yeah, this staff is not afraid to give the, like, DJ Lee coming in. You know, Damani's been struggling a little bit, giving him some opportunities. But, at the end of the day, I think it's all working out. Even, like, my thoughts on, like, the rotate on the offensive line, it was really bothering me. But, again, it's somewhat working. I mean, you hold that Tennessee defense sackless, even with rotate. I know Michael Carroll started, which I thought was going to be the case. But then he played less snaps than Wilkin, and Wilkin actually ended up playing better. So it's almost like, I don't know if these guys – it's mind games, like to get these guys to play with more of an edge. I don't know, but it's somewhat working. So, I don't know, man. Yeah. The coach is coach.
And I finish up with this, right? One, Chris Brazel was so quiet to hear Rat P on Cotton. And, let's just be real. And so they did a good job on him. I just think, like, with this team, I don't know if they'll win a national title. Just make the playoffs, start the NFL, and see what happens. But from the start of the year, And they may make the playoff with that schedule, going through that gauntlet of a schedule, because you got to remember, those four teams, they weren't overranked. They were ranked properly. And mind you, they beat a Vanderbilt by two scores who didn't even bother to rush the field when they beat LSU. So that right there. So in Georgia, they only lost one game. Tennessee only lost to Georgia and Alabama. And Missouri only lost one game themselves. So that's showing. And they've been challenging all those games, too. It ain't like they playing, like, you know, Prairie View or anything. So I think that this is toughening them up. And I like the – I know they're playing young guys. Young guys going to make mistakes. But I'd rather the young guy make the mistake than the senior, if you get what I'm saying. Can I say this one more thing talking about, thought about this? Everybody talking about moving Russo around? No. You need as many – be like the San Francisco 49ers. Get as many pass rushers as you can, so when Russo comes back, you can't key on him now. You got to have him and Yonze to worry about. And I think that's going to make Russo a better player. But thanks for taking my call, and keep up the great work.
Absolutely, man. I appreciate you, Smitty. Good stuff as always, man. And that's a great point. That's why I think maybe the film guy tweeted something about if Edge was like quarterback, you know, Quay would be in the portal. And I'm like – the way I looked at it was, I'm like, number one, I get – now, maybe I'm reading it wrong, but that's why I said if it was light quarterback, really one guy could play. But at the edge spot, you need two good edge players, right? And I get that, you know, in a lot of systems, you have like an edge position. And the other side, you got more of a strong side defensive end, hence why we have, you know, LT Overton and those Bandits, right? They're bigger guys. Then you have the Wolf, which is more of an outside linebacker. If you're talking about just true base stuff, but in today's college football, a lot of teams throwing the football around. You need as many edge guys as possible, especially when you're talking about having a tandem. Like, look at Missouri, that tandem that they have. You got 8 and 9 off the edges, man. They just cause hell. I think, you know, we're starting to see these guys really grow into what they can be. And that's from my perspective. And you guys know me. Like, I mean, when it comes to degrading the edge guys, I mean, I'm gonna keep it real. I mean, that's what I played. Yonze has just been getting better and better. I said he was going to need to be a factor on this defense. He's definitely been that. And before Quay got hurt, he was kind of obviously getting into his rhythm too, right? So that's going to be a hell of a tandem when they do get back healthy. Let's do this. I know we still got another call. We're going to get to that. But let me hit this at message real quick, because I know Tia asked one a minute ago, and I want to get back here. Tia asked, I'm confused about where the blame should go for the running game. Is it the offensive line or the running backs in general? Jam looked banged up. He didn't have his usual burst. But when you look at Daniel Hill, why was he having success? I know we could say it was later in the game when running lanes typically opened up, but I'm not sure. I guess I'm saying I like to see Daniel Hill and Richard Young get more touches to see if they can provide a spark. I'll say this. I think offensive line was a little inconsistent in the running game. I got to go back and really lock in, but from the watch back that I did have, I mean, there's a couple of times where I thought we could have been a little bit better creating some lanes. But I also think part of the reason Jam was a little bit off was, I mean, again, he had a concussion just a week ago. And I personally, I didn't even think he should have played. I'm not really big on guys rushing back from concussion. So I think it makes sense if he was a little bit slower, maybe step behind, you know, I mean, that's very understandable coming off of that. And I think the other thing is to note that I think Daniel Hill's also getting healthier. The board talks about guys being hobbled and maybe not being fully healthy. I mean, you'd be surprised. There's some guys that they might not have been hurt in a game where you guys have seen, but they still have lingering things from whether it's fall camp or whatever the case may be. And he's one of those guys. He hadn't really been fully healthy. And I think you're seeing Daniel Hill get healthier and healthier, and getting more reps. And in return, you're seeing him make more plays. So while it might seem like, oh, where did this come from? If you like know who's been kind of banged up and dealing with things and whatnot, it makes sense now that they're finally getting healthier that they're able to kind of, you know, go out there and do the stuff that a lot of people expected them to do before that. All right, let's go back to the phone lines. We have Ben up next. Ben, welcome in.
Hey, man, how you doing?
What's up, Ben?
I'm doing good, man. Hey, I missed the beginning of the show, but I missed a couple things y'all probably talked about, so hopefully I don't reiterate anything you already covered. But first things first, I want to say I know the 2015 National Championship team was there, and I know you were part of that team, so congrats on y'all getting y'all's recognition.
Oh, thank you.
I want to talk about – I got two questions for you. I don't want to hold up the phone lines too long, but
– You're good, man.
First thing – I want to talk about that defensive side of the ball, and people will say, you know, we didn't play a fantastic game defensively. We gave up 20 points. You know, we gave up so many yards in the run game. But, I mean, Tennessee is probably going to be the most complete offense we end up playing this year. I know people had a lot of concern about South Carolina, but we see how that's turned out for them. I think when we looked at this team coming into the year for Bama is we talked about that secondary. We knew they were going to be solid with guys like Bray and Demonte at the time, Xavien Brown, Keon Stab, but the linebackers and the pass rushers were really the question mark. And now when you come into the middle of the season, we got a ton of guys who are banged up. Guys are having to switch different spots, you know, week in, week out. But I just want to give them a ton of credit. Guys like Keon Keeley last week played a good game. Justin Jefferson at times played fantastic. And then this last weekend, Yonze Pierre came up and stepped up in a huge way. So huge credit to those guys. And for you being an edge rush guy, what is it like having to change up week to week when you get guys that are banged up? I know you had injury problems at times, and what is that like when you have a team that's banged up at times, but then you look up and you find success at the same time?
Yeah, I mean, it's all about next man up mentality and just knowing that you can rely on the guy behind you, beside you. That's really the most important thing, and I think that all comes from, you know, the work that you're putting in, whether it's, you know, back during the summer, training camp, like you're building those bonds, you're building that trust with one another. And it's, I mean, like, nobody's ever going to be fully healthy during a football season. But when you do have guys that, you know, are obligated to miss time, somebody's got to step up. And sometimes it puts pressure on guys, which is a good thing. Like, I feel like Quay being hurt, you know, obviously we hate that Quay is hurt, but it's put more pressure on Yonze to step up. Like, they needed that out of Yonze. And that's why when that happened, I said, now more than ever, Yonze's going to have to step up. Like, all the attention is turning to him. We need somebody in that wolf room to be that guy, right? Latham's out, Quay's out, and he's responding to the challenge. And I personally think, again, you hate when guys get hurt, but I fully believe that that has helped kind of transcend Yonze to where he's at now, the way he's playing. Again, he's always had it, but I think he just needed those reps. He needed the confidence boost. And now he's had it, or has it, and I think he's playing much better. So, you know, again, injuries are part of it, but when you have a lot of depth, like I feel like we have pretty solid depth at a lot of spots, it definitely helps out. And then it ends up really being beneficial for the guys who get those added opportunities, like a guy like Yonze Pierre.
With, like you talk about that mentality. Also, too, I want to give a shout-out to Bray Hubbard. The dude, I mean, he caught a ton of flack after that Florida State game, and deservedly so. You know, nobody played good in that game, but I think the effort was – what more people were concerned about. But, I mean, ever since that game, the dude's played with his hair on fire. He stepped up a couple times in that Tennessee game and met runners in the gap, but saved the touchdown before we got the interception, stuff like that. So I think there's a lot of guys with that elite mentality. And for me personally, you know, we talked about Damani Jackson last week. With a guy like DJ Lee stepping up now, stepping out in front of him as a starter, hopefully he has the same way. He has the same response and can step up and be the guy that we've seen him be in the past also.
Absolutely. I think the more reps a guy like DJ Lee gets, the better and better he's going to be too, without a doubt. Even a young guy like Justin Hill, I know he's been a little quiet with the reps that he's getting now with the injuries. I think that's only going to benefit him. I mean, he's got a whole hell of a lot of potential. I think the more reps he gets, the more confidence he gets, and I think it's going to be really good for his development. Go ahead. Sorry, I think you're about to ask something else.
No, you're good. No worries. The other one I had was about the offense. Like, we've seen this offense go week in and week out, and they've played some really good football games. We've had really good series. Like, that opening series against Tennessee was one of the best we've had all year. Same with the Missouri game. But it feels like we haven't popped yet as a team. Like, we haven't put together a full four quarters of football. Against Georgia, we played really good opening half, didn't score in the second half. Twice now we've kind of come out of halftime a little bit lackluster. Ended up giving a fumble last week, and then Missouri scored. This week we kind of go out with some unconvincing play calls, you know, it can be said, and then Tennessee go out and they score pretty quickly. So I think we haven't popped yet, and I think the good thing for this offense is we haven't shown our full potential. I mean, when you talk about this offense and you look at teams like Ohio State and Indiana, we're right up there, and we still haven't played our best game. We haven't played our best four quarters of football, and I think it's scary for other teams that whenever we do end up popping, and South Carolina is a great opportunity to do so. Defensively, they're not great. Offensively, they're terrible, to be frank. And I think this weekend could be a real good weekend. And then we get to go into a bye with LSU. And I think it's a real good opportunity for us to actually play full four quarters of football.
Yeah, I agree. I second everything you said about South Carolina. I'm definitely going to talk more about them throughout the week. But, no, I think it is an opportunity. I think that's what's exciting about this Alabama football team right now is that as good as we're playing, the four straight ranked wins, I mean, holding Tennessee to 20 points. And again, our offense just seemingly just continue to click outside of some of those moments, like you said, come out of half. The fact is, you also said it, right? We haven't really played that full, complete game where we had our foot on the gas from start to finish and really just, yes, we're stamping, right? We're putting our stamp on things. Don't get me wrong, but you get what I'm saying. Like that true performance where it's like, golly, man, start to finish, they had their foot on the gas. And to me, that's scary to think about, because once we do put it all together like that, which hopefully will come at the right time, right? We're starting to get into the second half of the season. We all know it comes up down the road. That's when you want to start playing your best football. And the fact that we still haven't, in my opinion, played our best football is actually a good sign. And I think that should give a lot of hope and expectations for a lot of Alabama fans out there. Ben, we appreciate you calling, man. Good stuff.
Yeah, man. Of course. Appreciate you, man. Thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely, man. Take care. All right, we got to hit a timeout. We come back, we wrap things up on this Victory Monday edition of Miller's Edge.
Today, and get up to 30% off. That's leaffilter.com/country for up to 30% off. Leaffilter.com/country. See representative for warranty details.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
This Victory Monday edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230. WTBC presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Arch Support Experts. We only got a couple minutes left. I know we had Ellis on the line. Let's see if Ellis is still there. Ellis, you with us? He might have dropped. Going once, twice, and sold. All right. So that being said, just putting a bow on everything. Victory Monday. We obviously love celebrating on the Miller's Edge on a Victory Monday, doing our breakdown. Just in, I guess, a quick little recap. Big time win, made four in a row, like first time being done in the SEC. I can't remember if it was ever and how many years, whatever. I think maybe the first time in the SEC, but maybe like first time in such a long time, I guess, overall. Who knows? All I know is, again, that's big. Reed, you got a stat on that?
I believe you're correct. I think it's ever.
Yeah, okay, so really big deal, and we keep on rolling. 37-20 over a team. Biggest notes and takeaways, again, holding the top scoring team in the country to 20 points, big check mark by the defense, right? Generating pass rush, coming up with four sacks, tying the number of sacks that they allowed all season, huge check mark. Got to continue to, you know, limit those explosive plays, especially on the ground. But listen, nobody's going to be perfect. We're not going to overanalyze, but we are going to analyze and say that, you know, still needs a little bit of work. We just showed you a couple things that we could have done different to stop those big plays, and I'm sure they'll keep working on that. So that was big. Big time plays when we need it, right? Going into the halftime, getting that big interception, that completely changed the whole game. Turnovers, right? Defense, really solid performance, man. Offensively, really solid performance as well. Can't come out of halftime flat, but nonetheless, you know, holding their best unit up front, right? Best sack production in the country to no sacks. Big shout out to the offensive line. Caden Proctor looked great. Running game wasn't great, but we found ways to get our extensions out of it. Jeremy Bernard being our leading rusher, obviously working the ball down the field as well. Ty doing some good stuff. Ryan Williams, 5 receptions on 5 targets, some big plays in the game as well. So really good stuff overall. That'll do it for us on this Victory Monday. Appreciate everybody. Tide 100.9, chasing Reed behind the glass, all our listeners via YouTube, Facebook, all the streams, all that good stuff. Appreciate you guys. Without you guys, none of this is possible. That being said, we'll be back tomorrow. We'll put a bow on this if there's still some leftover, and we'll start turning our attention to South Carolina on this Talking Tuesday edition of the show tomorrow, right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Arch Sport Experts. See you guys then.